Chapter 13. Alvi opened a second box on the island in the center of Magician Praff's lab. Today they were bringing supplies to the Woosley Hospital to fulfill a special order from the coordinator of staff. The adhesive bandages and canisters for storage carried no enchantment, but in addition to those, Magician Praff had created a variety of casts that could be formed to any broken limb, making the work of bodily mending a much smoother process. She added syringes that would fill to the desired spoken amount without bubbles, as well as vinyl sheets that would fit any mattress, specially treated to prevent tearing.
"I'll show you the difference between transferable and non-transferable vacuum-forming when we return. You'd be surprised how many people want to purchase vacuum-forming spells for food preservation."
Magician Praff set a thin strip of transparent plastic over the top of the already filled box and commanded it, "Adhere." Alvi finished the second box and got a strip of her own, repeating the spell to seal it. Two footmen came in to carry the boxes out to the automobile, where the chauffeur awaited them. Alvi and Magician Praff followed, but as the footmen strapped in the boxes, Mr. Hemsley came out of the manor with the announcement,
"Miss Breckenmacher, the mirror is for you."
"Me?" Alvi asked. Her parents hadn't said they'd be calling today. It was always a challenge when they did. The gaffing magic that allowed communication between mirrors couldn't stretch all the way from Columbus to London, so it had to be bounced about other mirrors across the Atlantic, which resulted in blurry images and garbled sound. Still, it was faster than a letter. She usually spoke to her parents once a week, on Sunday afternoons. Today was Friday. Magician Praff said,
"Thank you, Hemsley. Go on, Alvi, we're in no hurry. I need to check that we didn't leave the plimmery unlocked, besides."
Alvi nodded and scurried past the ever-frowning butler to the house. She waved to Emma, who had been watching the loading through the window, and hurried down the main hall into the salon. Sure enough, the oval mirror in the far corner shimmered with magic. It was not her parents' blurred faces that filled it, however, but Bennett's crisp one.
"Oh!"
She quickened her step, subsequently tripping over the back of her own heel.
"Alvi?" the mirror asked. Fortunately, Alvi didn't think Bennett could see all the way to the salon door.
"Here! Here! Coming!"
She picked herself up and walked to the mirror at a safer pace.
"You didn't say you'd be calling."
She hadn't gotten a bird from him in 4 days, as a matter of fact. She had begun worrying that Ethel's encouragement had been misplaced. Bennett rubbed the back of his head.
"Yes, sorry. I've a knack for just showing up, don't I?"
"I don't mind at all."
She cringed at the excitement in her own voice.
"Easy, Alvi."
"But the butler probably does."
"Good job, Alvi."
"Oh, sorry."
"Oh, no, he just minds everything. Don't worry about him."
A small smile brushed Bennett's lips.
"I know the type, believe me. In fact, I don't have long to use this mirror, so I'll get to the point. I was wondering if you were going home for Christmas."
She nodded. "I'm leaving on the 15th, until...
well, I'm departing from the States late on the 2nd, so with a time change it might be the 3rd.
"The 15th, he repeated with a nod.
"Going back the way you came, the station?"
"Well, yes."
"Would you mind an escort?"
He shifted as though he was wrestling with his hands or the like, or the mirror cut off too high for her to see for sure.
"That is, you're quite capable."
Alvi didn't realize she was smiling until her cheeks began to ache.
"I did get lost."
"Not of your own volition."
"I would very much like an escort, even without the bends."
Bennett let out a breath. She wondered at that.
"Excellent. I'll speak to Magician Bailey. We've been terribly busy. The holidays demand every paper decoration you can imagine. Magician Bailey generally works in textbooks, but there's a shortage of folders. I figure I need the practice as well. I can fold 21 types of stars. Doubt that will be on the test, though."
Alvi's lips formed an O.
"I'm sure they're lovely. My parents get the chains, the ones that unravel themselves as they count down to Christmas."
"Ah, yes, those are fairly simple."
"Do you have the test questions yet?"
A new voice sounded in the distance of Bennett's mirror.
"Bennett?"
The sharp words were garbled, but she heard how the invective ended.
"And the delivery?"
Alvi frowned. "Is that Magician Bailey?" He ran a hand back through his sunshine hair.
Yes, he's stressed. I should go. Alvy offered a heartening smile. At least she tried to make it heartening. I'll see you on the 15th, then. I'm taking the 1 o'clock train. Bennett nodded. I'll arrive early. His hand moved outside of the frame, and the vision of him rippled silver, until Alvy stared only at her own reflection. Woosley Hospital's delivery entrance was located at the back of the old building. A narrow road ran past it, and an ambulance blocked part of it coming south, so Fred circled around the adjacent block until he could find a decent parking space, not terribly far from the hospital. "We'll just be a moment, Fred." Magician Praff slipped out of the vehicle and circled back to the rear, and Alvy slid across the bench to follow. Another automobile, one of the older models, passed by as he went, splashing through a puddle from a recent rainfall. Muddy droplets sprayed the door and Alvy's shoes, as well as the hem of Magician Praff's slacks. She stuck her tongue out at the offending vehicle. "Rude." Fred turned around in his seat. "That one's been behind us since Mayfair." "Really?" Alvy asked. "The same one?" She wondered where they were headed. The chauffeur nodded. "Even around the block." The automobile in question turned onto the next adjoining road, out of sight. Alvy stepped gingerly onto the road and took one of the boxes from Magician Praff, though her eyes were on the street ahead of them. The box was light, another benefit of plastic. As Magician Praff led the way down the street, Alvy asked, "Why isn't the demand for polymakers higher? Plastic is lighter and more durable than glass, and it seems it could replace a great deal of metal, machine parts, maybe, silverware." Magician Praff laughed.
"Plastic silverware?"
"Plasticware, why not?"
"I think the demand for plastic will increase as time goes on, and as we continue to prove ourselves useful, and not just materials from polymakers. Many of the things you're talking about can be fashioned by regular people, perhaps one day in factories."
They turned a corner. Alvy stepped in a puddle she hadn't seen, thanks to the large box in her arms. To think how different the world might be in just 10 years.
"Stop right there,"
a gruff voice said. Magician Praff halted immediately. Alvy stopped just behind him. The click of metal sent a chill up her back. She'd heard that sound before, on the shooting range near the Jefferson School. She turned to see two persons behind her. They wore common English clothes, but both had brown cloths tied around their faces, exposing only part of their eyes, just enough to see. The taller one held a pistol in his hand. The shorter, slimmer figure had a knife drawn and a tight hat tugged over his head. Her body went cold.
"Now, now," Magician Praff said, very slowly turning as well. They were on a narrow one-way road that connected with the street behind the hospital. No houses, no witnesses, unless another automobile drove by. These thieves must have come from the automobile the chauffeur had mentioned, the one that had followed them all the way from Mayfair.
"We've nothing of use," Magician Praff said slowly. "Just hospital supplies."
The taller robber waved the gun, and Alvy flinched. Her mind buzzed with possibilities of how to get away, but they all died before really forming. She didn't have a weapon. She didn't have any combat skills. She didn't know any spells to help, and even if she did, polymaking was the second slowest magic there was. She doubted either robber was going to wait while she made some sort of defense.
"Drop the boxes," the man with the gun said.
Magician Praff lowered his box to the ground.
"But," Alvy started. "Drop them."
She let go of her box. It crashed onto the road. Magician Praff, having stooped to lower his box, stood back up and raised his hands. Alvy followed suit. Her heart flipped back and forth in her chest. Was this really happening? God help her, was she going to die? The air around her bit with a sudden chill. She searched behind the robbers for any help. The man with the gun came forward. Alvy stumbled back into the stone wall of some building she didn't dare look at, for doing so would mean taking her eyes off the gun. The pistol looked right at her with its hollow, black eye. The other robber bent down, and with a knife and a shaky grip, opened the box. He sorted through it, occasionally glancing at Magician Praff. Bandages and syringes, and even a bedpan went flying onto the cobbles. With a scowl, he moved on to the second box. His accomplice pointed the gun at Magician Praff now. More supplies spilled onto the road. The crouching thief shook his head. The one with the gun cursed. "All worthless," he muttered. The sound of a second cocking hammer made Alvy's breath hitch. She turned, only to see a well-dressed man coming up the same path she had just taken. No mask, he had graying hair and a nearly white half-beard. He, too, carried a firearm. The thieves froze.
"Put it down, son," the man warned. He nodded toward her mentor. "Marion?"
"Alfred." Magician Praff said his name in greeting, almost as if there weren't two armed robbers right in front of them. Alfie didn't know who Alfred was, but his firearm was pointed at the thief with the gun, so she instantly liked him. The thief set the gun down and slowly stood. Alvy's eyes darted between the two thieves. She focused on the shorter one, on the way his clothes fit. He reached into his pocket. She jumped. "Look out, he's..." The robber's hand shot down. An explosion of confetti engulfed both criminals. When the paper bits settled, the crooks were gone. Alfred lowered his revolver and pulled out what looked like a compact mirror from his pocket.
"I need all hands down on Thompson. Two escaped robbers. One, 178 centimeters. The other, 165. Both wearing brown coats and tan slacks."
He closed the mirror and ran down the narrow lane to where it connected with the main road. Thompson, Alfie thought. He looked around, shook his head, and returned. In the distance, police whistles screeched. Magician Praff let out a long breath.
"You're a godsend, Alfred. I have a habit of being in the wrong place at the right time," he smiled.
"Pardon me." Magician Praff ran a hand down his face, blinked, and seemed to reset himself. "Alvy, this is Magician Alfred Hughes. Alfred, this is my apprentice, Alvy Breckenmacher."
Magician Hughes nodded to her. "I'll walk with you in case they return, or there's a third accomplice."
Alvy hugged herself against the cold December air. Her heart hadn't slowed yet, and her arms shook with anxiety.
Folders? Magician Hughes shook his head. "I doubt it. Concealing confetti is a transferable magic, likely purchased it somewhere, but the spell doesn't let you travel far."
Alvy nodded, stepped on a bandage. Coming to herself, she crouched down and began reboxing all the supplies, even the wet ones. Magician Praff sighed.
"We're just on our way to deliver supplies. My apologies, again."
He shook his head. He seemed anxious as well. "I'm slipping with my introductions. Alvy, Magician Alfred Hughes is the head of criminal affairs for England. I suppose that's important enough to include, isn't it?"
Magician Hughes chuckled.
Alvy paused her boxing and looked at Magician Hughes with wide eyes. "Truly? She stood and wiped her hands on her slacks, then extended the right. "It's a pleasure to meet you, sir." He shook her hand. His grip was firm. Oddly, it helped her relax.
"And you, too. New to the place, I take it?"
"Yes, since September."
"Always nice to see a young lady keep her head in trying situations."
He released her hand. Magician Praff bent down and picked up supplies. Magician Hughes helped him.
"What brings you here?" Magician Praff asked. "On my way to the Parliament building, what else?"
He picked up a roll of bandages and turned it over in his hands.
"What were they after, do you think?"
Alvy's mind flashed to the plimmery. Could these robbers from the street be connected to the burglaries? Magician Praff clearly thought it possible, because as soon as everything was repacked and they started for the hospital again, he shared the story about the break-in. Magician Hughes hadn't heard, though Alvy wasn't too surprised. The man in charge of criminal affairs, one of the departments of the magician's cabinet, likely had more important things to worry about than failed burglaries. Another siren wailed as they crossed Thompson and came up to the delivery entrance.
"I see," Magician Hughes nodded. "Keep me informed, Marion. I'll do the same."
He turned to Alvy and nodded.
"Good to meet you."
Alvy nodded in return. Magician Hughes hurried back the way he'd come. Did he have a buggy parked back there somewhere? Or had he merely been within walking distance of the Parliament building? Magician Praff knocked on the delivery entrance door. Magician Praff sighed.
I'm sorry about all of this, Alvy. Despite all the good we try to do, there are some terrible men in the world.
Alvy glanced at him, then back the way they'd come. Not just men, Magician Praff.
Hmm?
She shifted her box in her hands. I'm fairly certain the shorter one was a woman. She wore men's clothing, yes, but they fit wrong, and she wore a hat as if to cover her hair.
I didn't notice.
Alvy tipped her head in the direction Magician Hughes had gone. What is he a magician of?
Magician Hughes is a siper.
Really?
Siping was the magic closest to polymaking. It was a siper who had discovered plastic as a material in the first place. She wondered if Bennett would want to hear about that, since his father owned a siping factory, the same factory where Ethel had lost her arm.
Ethel.
Alvy looked down at the supplies in her arms. Surely the person who'd attempted to burglarize the polymery, and, if her theory was correct, the robbers who'd assaulted them tonight, had been after Ethel's prosthetic arm. It was the only thing of true value inside the lab, besides the Imagidome. But the latter could be easily traced back to Magician Praff, making it impossible to sell. Yet Magician Praff's polymery was the fourth to be hit. And surely the other victims didn't have prosthetic arms in their labs? What was the thief after?
Something to present at the convention, Magician Azel, she thought.
Granted, he had been burglarized as well, but
it didn't sit right with Alvy.
It was like trying to solve a math equation with two variables, and there weren't enough real numbers to figure out the second. Unfortunately for the thief, she was very good at math.